Hey, thank you so much for your support for the Hit Zero podcast. Truly could not have done it without Anchor. Anchor has an incredible platform where you can record, edit, and distribute your podcast all from your phone. You guys would be surprised how many episodes I have done from start to finish and distributed it from my phone. It's really, really, really incredible. Now, what you have to do is you can either go to anchor.fm. That's their website. You can go there, you can get started, or you can download the Anchor app. It's available in all of the app stores that you can get for your phone, and you can start right away. And believe it or not, you can actually make money from your podcast, and you don't even have to have a certain amount of listeners. Just by having one listener, you can start to make money from your podcast. So if you're interested in making a podcast, check out anchor.fm or check out the app store, download Anchor, and I cannot wait to hear your first episode. All right, so it's been a while since we've seen each other.
Yeah.
For those that are unfamiliar, this is my friend Victor, aka the Acro Machine. Which, if you've never seen this guy in action, is a pretty fitting name. But I had the pleasure of getting to meet Victor back at Winterfest of this past year, second annual, my first, and was honestly like one of my first. First experiences with Acro. I mean, I had tried it here and there with a group in San Antonio, and it was fun. I had a good time, but you could definitely tell they were trying to pander, you know, pander to younger, newer, green Acro, you know, enthusiasts. So
yeah.
You know, some of the stuff they were doing, you know, I'm like, I want to stand up, and they're like, no, you got to lay down. I'm like, no, but I want to stand up. So, yeah. So getting to watch you do some even like the high level stuff, you know, the ground based stuff. Just kind of, you know, opened my eyes to, wow, this is being on your feet doesn't necessarily mean harder. There's some ridiculous stuff you can do, you know, in that L position, that ground based position. So, you know, we're kind of in a crazy place right now with the world and what we're all doing. So, you know, I wanted to talk with you and introduce our audience to you and catch up, man, because it's been, you know, God, 5 or 6 months, since then or longer. And just see how, like, I mean, what's going on with you in life, and we'll just have, you know, just have a convo, man. So tell us for those that aren't familiar with you, tell listeners and our viewers about kind of your background with Acro and kind of how you got to where you are now.
Yeah, thanks, man. And again, Travis, man, thanks for, you know, having me on here. Any opportunity that I could take, especially to you know, reach out and spread the word of Acro to the cheer community, because that's where I'm from originally. But yeah, how I got into Acro, you know, first, like I said, you know, I'm old school, man. I was cheering back in like the early 90s, right? And you know, I moved to Hollywood, you know, right after high school. I started my career in acting, so you know, I've been in. You know, I used to be on a TV show called Sister Sister, and I've done movies like, you know, Can't Hardly Wait, and, you know, I'm still always working on something, or, you know, ghostwriting a lot of stand-up comedy for, like, a lot of comics right now, and, you know, I've always kind of wanted to, I was envious of all my other actor friends that, like, found their, like, hobby outside of the entertainment industry, and I really never had one, and then 6 years ago, I was dating this girl, and she was like, you know, would you be interested in trying this Acro yoga thing? And that's what they called it at the time. Like, I hate calling it yoga because it's so far from yoga, right?
Sure.
And I was like, yeah, sure. And so we had showed up to the beach one day because that's kind of where everybody jams, and I was blown away because I was like, oh, this is like stunting, but laying down on your back, right? Like, in my mind, that's how I looked at it.
Easier, right?
Yeah. And there was a few people out there that were, you know, they were standing there doing things that, like, kind of resembled stunting, right? Because, you know, now, obviously, a lot of stunts are you know, starting in the 2000s, they started, you know, melding the worlds of acro and stunt, where before it wasn't a lot of hand-to-hand
Right.
Yeah, but then a lot of that kind of started kind of creeping into that world, which is really cool. So I was kind of when I went out there, I saw that, I was kind of familiar with that. But the problem was, is at the time, in order for me to dust off my rust, I needed to like actually work with like cheerleaders who knew what they were doing, like, you know, the flyers. So I just laid on my back. I figured it was be a lot easier. I didn't require spots in order to do it. I already had the hamstring flexibility. And yeah, I picked up relatively fast. And people were like, wow, how it takes years for people to get to this level. How is it that you were able to get to this level so fast? And I'm like, you know, I used to cheer back in the day. So it definitely gave me an advantage over everyone because of my cheerleading background.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, it's funny you mentioned like the hand-to-hand stuff, because I just have this sitting here that I was like still my athletes with. But the first touch that I had kind of gotten wind of there starting to be this crossover was we had some guys that we did staff with back at Florida that started talking about Cirque du Soleil and talking about Le Rev and like some of the acrobatic shows. And that was back in like 2007, 2008, somewhere around there. And that was the only thing I heard of outside of, you know, stunting and cheer, you know, because they were always, it just seemed like so different, you know, different, almost like gymnastics versus cheer. It's like there are some similarities, but they're so different, they would never cross over. And I found it interesting. I saw this one thing around that same time where there were some cheerleaders that were getting recruited into Cirque du Soleil, but they were trying to take away the, you know, the 5, 6, 7, 8 and make it a little bit more artistic. So when you got into acro and you kind of took to it quickly, what was that transition like, and how did your background in cheer go with the acro, and then kind of full circle, are you still doing anything stunt related, or is it kind of full act now?
I think the biggest thing that transferred over was the cheerleader mindset and attitude, right? So the thing that I noticed early on was culturally it was completely different. Right. You know, again, I don't like using the word acro yoga, but like the early adopters of acro yoga. And this is, again, this is just my opinion. It's probably a hot take. And I know that like when I've mentioned it to people, it's kind of ruffled a few feathers. The problem that I had recognized was, so you created this movement called acro yoga. Therefore, what you're saying is that in order to do acro, they have to have a yoga background, right?
Right.
You then alienate a significant portion of men because a lot of dudes weren't doing yoga, right? Mm-mm. And then the guys that were signing up for it that had a yoga background, they weren't the most athletically gifted, they weren't the strongest, and so there was this leveling off of in terms of like the ability, the talent, a lot more fear was implemented because a lot of people weren't able to kind of execute the skills necessary. And so then here I come along, I have this cheer background, and we're like spotter, like, okay, cool, let's just go for this shit. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? As long as my flyer's 100% committed, I'm 100% committed, my spotters are committed, we're going to go for it. And it didn't, you know, I didn't feel a need to spend 5 months on doing progressionary steps, right?
Right.
Because of my background in cheer, I had this feel of like, okay, that the progressionary steps feel right.
Right.
In order for me to take this to the next level. And a big part of my success was being able to work with flyers who also came from cheer, who also came from gymnastics, who weren't indoctrinated into the acro yoga way of doing things.
Sure.
And so that was a big help. And, you know, like whenever I can, you know, give credit to like my success and where I'm at, that really starts with like the flyers who had the same type of cheer mentality that I yeah. had in terms of the approach. That was like the biggest thing I noticed.
Two things on that. I think one, the stigma part that you talk about with the yoga, you know, it's, we see that, as you know, in cheer too, you know, you notice a lot of times people aren't calling it cheer anymore. They're calling it just all-star. Right. So
really?
It's almost like,
know that.
Yeah. So in the, I mean, it's rarely do you hear cheerleading. That's, I feel like that term is really, aside from like sideline cheer, that term is kind of like on its way out. And I may be completely off base, but in the all-star world, we have all-star cheer and now all-star dance, right? So you have like this style of, it's not studio dance. It's almost like if you took the dance portion out of an all-star routine and yeah. added a little yeah. bit lengthier to, you know, a little bit more length to it, maybe some flips and things like that. So there's all-star dance, but prior to that, it was almost like, you know, you didn't really hear all-star cheerleading. It was kind of like all-star cheer. And now it's just the vernacular that's used most often is just all-star. So like, yeah, you know, I'm an all, you know, what do? Like we're at all-star, like, you know, it's, so I feel like that stigma with the acro yoga and just calling it acro and people are like, oh, like acrobatics, you know, like I could see how that kind of plays into it.
Yeah,
and another
yeah,
point,
yeah.
another point you mentioned that hits home with me a lot too, is I had, you know, the same cheer background. I show up and I don't, you know, I wanted to just see what it's about. Right. So I show up at this gym and, they're like, okay, lay on your back, and I'm going through all these things. And unlike you, I don't really have the greatest hamstring flexibility, so I really struggled on the ground, you know. And yeah. I just kept saying, like, man, like if I could just stand up, I feel like it'd be so much easier. And they're like, yeah, but you know, progression wise, this and that. And so finally, I got a girl that I trusted enough, and I'm like, look, don't like blast it out to the group, but you know, I've been involved with cheer for like 17 years, and I'm much better on my feet. And she's like, really? And so like, I just threw her up, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, where'd you, like, how did you learn that? And
yeah,
so now
yeah.
within, I'm teaching them standing skills, you know? So
yeah.
I'm with you. And like that unfortunate part about San Antonio is we don't have a huge acro community, and the ones that typically go to the jams are ones that are very green, you know, and do fall into the yoga side of it.
Yeah.
I do wish that there was a little bit more of that higher level around here. So, you know, kind of like to your point of feel like you're beyond that, but you don't want to just be like, yeah, I'm beyond this, you know, I don't
yeah,
want to be,
yeah.
you know,
well, I mean, I've looked, you know, from a, so last year I took on the challenge of wanting to take acro to the next level in terms of what are the things I can do to broaden it, to broaden its appeal, right? From a business standpoint too, because
sure.
it's this thing that I love that I think, you know, a whole bunch of other people would connect with. And, you know, I knew someone who was an anthropologist, and I was just like, you know, I have these kind of theories about why I think it's not growing, you know, kind of, you know, help me out here and try to figure out like, what are some of the things you see by being around, you know, the community. And, you know, what they said, it kind of correlated to what, you know, a lot of beliefs that I had, but like, it was really interesting in terms of like the cultural dynamic to it. And, you know, one of the things that I'm devoted to, especially, you know, going forward, is trying to implement, you know, some of these changes, some of these cultural attitudes, in a way that I think that'll promote it, for the masses. Because unfortunately, you know, acro, the early adopters of acro just happened to be really hippie, granola, maybe I'll take a shower today, maybe I won't. We're all going to Burning Man.
Oh,
you know? And it really doesn't connect. doesn't really connect with the masses who I feel would really enjoy and really benefit from the practice, you know?
For sure. So I know you said you got your, you know, you got your projects that you're doing out in Hollywood, living that, you know, the Hollywood lifestyle kind of deal, but how much of acro, like how much of your day and your time and your efforts, and if it's not too personal, like even income, like comes from the acro world versus the world? Like, where do the lines blur for you?
Yeah. I mean, usually, you know, a typical day is, you know, I'll go out, I'll audition on something, you know, I'm, you know, like, it's like I have my regular job, right? Hollywood's like my regular job. And then whenever I'm free, so like a typical day would be like, you know, say we weren't in quarantine, right? I would have had a client today at like 3 p.m. Well, you know, I would have made sure my audition was around 1 p.m. today. You know, I'd study my lines. I'd take a change of clothes in the car. Then we would meet somewhere out on the beach or, you know, wherever, you know, I would do that. I would do that private lesson. The thing that was like what was really fortunate is because my job pays like all my bills. I matured a little bit in terms of like, you know, my financial responsibilities and whatnot. And so I haven't spent any of the money I make in acro. That all just pretty much, you know, gets put away because I don't need it, you know.
That's
so
great. That's great.
Yeah, so it's kind of given me this, here's this thing that's like I love to do, I would do for free, and then people are paying me to teach them in order to learn, and I don't have to live off of it. And so it's been a really cool blessing, you know. Shit, I don't know if you're, excuse my curse.
All good, man.
Yeah, right. You know, real estate in LA is ridiculous, and so yeah, man, this is going to that down payment on the house. So yeah, I'm excited about that.
That's cool, man. Do you have any projects coming up that we can look out for, like film and TV wise? Anything anything post production? Like post production that we're just waiting for release, or you got stuff like that you're auditioning for currently?
No, nothing. I mean, right now everything's been, you know, put on hold. There was a project that I've been kind of shopping around, and an ex director, I wanted to attach a female to this project because it really needs a female's point of view. It's a story idea that I kind of came up with.
Okay.
That's relatively in this world.
Sure.
And because of, and she, you know, I got her finally attached. So I'm really excited in terms of like being able to flush that out and, you know, being able to see where that goes.
Cool, man. I have to look up some of your projects, see what's coming down the line. We'll tag some links and stuff for different things.
Sure, sure, man.
Yeah. So where are you from originally?
From Dallas, Texas, originally, yeah.
Okay, so you're not far from where I'm at San Antonio.
No, man.
What, I'm curious about, because I lived in Nashville, right? So in Nashville, singer-songwriter, right? Everybody's singer-songwriter. And then, you know, you meet to a point where you kind of get numb to it. You're like, you know, oh, yeah, nice to meet you. Like, oh, yeah, I'm a singer-songwriter. You're like, okay, cool. And then you actually meet somebody. It's like, yeah, I'm a singer-songwriter. And then, like, when you hang out, they've got, like, platinum albums that they've written. And, like, you're just like, wait a second. Like, this is a successful. So, you're such a down-to-earth dude. You're so easy to get along with. You know, like, you and I met, and it was just like, you'd feel like we'd known each other forever. And I'm curious, like, tell me about that time when you're like, you know what, I live in Dallas, which for, you know, for me, it's not far, you know, I think Dallas is just a couple hours north, you know?
Yeah.
So just down earth dude living in Dallas. You're like, you know what, I'm going to go to LA. And the next thing you know, you're on Sister, and you're like doing all, like you're doing it, you know, like walk me through that journey of all that.
I mean, you know, I've always, ever since like the sixth grade, I knew I've always wanted to act, right? And as soon as, when I graduated high school, I was like, I'm gonna move to LA. And I literally had no idea what it was about. And it's funny because I remember when I first moved to LA, people were like, oh, what do you do for a living? And I'm like, I'm an actor. And like, I remember people was like, oh yeah, what restaurant do you work at, right? And that was like,
I get the Hard Rock.
Right? And I was like, that's so rude. And I'm like, but that's true. Like, everybody, you know what I mean? And so I was like, all right, I'm not going to say I'm an actor until I get my first job. And yeah, man, when you move out here, you realize, like, no one's from L.A. No one's from L.A. They all move here to pursue their dream in acting or writing, directing. And it's a little overwhelming. It's a little, you know, you get humbled real quick because there's moments where you're like, okay, you know, you really have to have a level of what's the word I'm looking for? Like, grit and belief in yourself that you're gonna rise above the all this, right? But you know, as you go through that journey, and you just meet, I think that one of the cool things is like when you meet all your friends, especially in the beginning, and you're all poor, and you know, all your friends are talented, but you guys are all in the same boat, and then you slowly see everyone rock. Like Aaron Paul used to sneak me; he used to be the ticket taker guy. You know, at the movies, and you know, we were friends, and he'd always let me go into the movies free. Now, you know, he's an Emmy Award winner, you know, star on Breaking Bad. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, you know, it's just really cool to see, you know, everybody just kind of blow up and you know, go through the struggles together, you know, if you don't have what it takes, man, you're going back home. Like you'll get eaten up. Yeah. And who gets caught up in the hype to Hollywood, man, in terms of the parties, in terms of just everything you can get into. Like if you are not focused, it could. Yeah, you're not going to survive that. You know,
when you look back at your career, what's the thing so far that you've been most proud of? Like your either the biggest project or maybe not even the biggest project, like something that you just like, it meant so much to you that, you know, like you feel like at this point in your career, that's, you know, like that's what your guy continues to push you forward.
Yeah. I would, you know, people ask me this all the time, and I would probably, you know, it's weird because I've done series that have been on TV and, you know, we've been canceled or, you know, I've like the past couple of years, trying not to sneeze. Now sneezing, especially in the day of the coronavirus, is like not a good thing.
That's the funniest thing is watching people on the news try to mask sneezes and coughs and like hold it in.
Yeah,
everybody's terrified to cough.
But yeah, I would have to say Can't Hardly Wait for a couple of reasons. A, you know, I grew up in the 80s when I was, I was a big fan of all these teen movies, Corey Haim, Corey Feldman's, and just the impact like those teen movies had on me. So to be a part of a teen movie and to become this like cult classic where, you know, to this day, you know, people will stop me on the street and, you know, ask for like, you know, my autograph or a picture. And it was like, okay, if I didn't do anything ever again, like I made my dream come true of being a part of a cult classic. That really was a part of a lot of people's like lives and their upbringing. And so
people still quote all the time. People still quote from that movie like all the time.
Yeah. And so, like, that, you know, I'm really proud of that. You know, but I don't want to stop there. I mean, I've always wanted to be, you know, in front and, you know, and behind the camera. You know, I did kind of take some time off for a while, just to kind of figure out exactly how I want to maneuver in, you know, in the industry. But yeah, just Can't Hardly Wait was just, it was a game changer, just in terms of, you know, the impact that I saw it have. And it definitely gave me a window into, like, what it is to be, like, ultra famous. And
that's cool. Very cool, man. I'm gonna put some links to some of your stuff, and then I'll probably put a few clips from some of your stuff.
All right, man.
On the cheer and acro side, I know we've talked about the quarantine and everything that's going on, and from what I can tell, I don't think we're supposed to say the name of it, because then they, like, start blocking your video. So we'll just say quarantine. Yeah, supposedly YouTube demonetizes your video if you say the name of it or whatever it is. Yeah, so because they transcript.
Oh,
there's some channels that I watch that, like, you know, have hundreds of thousands and millions of subscribers, and when they talk about this thing, they never say the word of it. And I was like, why are nobody saying, you know, the name of it? And I started looking up. YouTube is demonetizing those videos.
Wow.
Interesting, right?
Yeah. Well, hey, man. I mean, we would jump off track, but in a way,
Down on people. I mean, how easy would it be in day to be like, you know, put some clickbait headline of, you know, click here to learn the secret about how to actually blank, 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 this blank, you know, and get 10 million views, you know? So I get it. But given the time, and, like, you know, this kind of works out for you in part, I feel, but then maybe not because of the distancing, but, like, I know with cheer, a lot of the gyms are doing virtual classes, they're doing virtual team meetings and things like that. As an acro practitioner, how do you stay in shape and continue to hone your craft given the circumstances? And also, like, what recommendations would you give for some of our athletes that, you know, are wondering, like, how do I work on body positions? How do I keep up my strength? How do I keep up my flexibility, my agility? Well, what kind of thing could you recommend for them?
Well, it's a funny story. Yesterday I was like, man, I need to work out. I need to just, gyms are closed. I went to Walmart to see if I can find a kettlebell, and everything is sold out. All the gym equipment is sold out. but you know, as far as working out and staying in shape, it's the same type of protocol, you know, that you would, you know, if you're a cheerleader. With acro, it's keeping loose, keeping the hamstrings, you know, flexible, doing a bunch of stretches, keeping your you know, core, you know, doing core exercises. Excuse me. You know, yeah, as far as, like, you know, online, I'm gonna start, me and Trinity are gonna start next week doing, you know, online classes. Hopefully maybe for, you know, just for beginners, and trying to, you know, walk them through, you know, just some beginning postures, you know, because now a lot of people are at home, and unlike cheer, right? It's like, okay, I'm quarantined in my house. I'm not going to practice working on my tossed hands or whatever, but I can lay on my back and figure out how to get into this bird or throne. And so I think that's a really good way to be able to take the advantage of, you know, wanting to learn basics, you know, during this. So it's just, you know, learning that, you know, making sure people, you know, once they do attempt it, you know, making sure the lines are in the right place, stacking your feet over your hips, et cetera, you know, that type of thing.
I think it's a great time, you know, now that we, you know, a lot of the kids and a lot of the athletes, I mean, people in general, are kind of, everything's mobile now, right? I mean, everything's, you know, Zoom, I bet Zoom stock is going through the roof.
Oh, yeah.
But I think now's a perfect time for athletes to start to look into and study some of the videos of, you know, some of the stuff that you do, some of these other practitioners that you work with. I mean, I think that's one suggestion I would make, is just for people that are interested, just take time to like comb through some of your social media, and just look up technique, because I know again, it's, you know, especially the ground-based stuff is so foreign to a lot of people. I know it is for me, but I think that, I mean, I'll definitely put, you know, try to put some links up to some of your stuff. And then, do you have any resources, you know, do you think just Googling or YouTube acro, are there any particular, resources that you like to look to for inspiration or things like that, that we can kind of push to the kids?
Well, me personally, I mean, you know, because acro is so like kind of new, it's still kind of scattered all over the place. And, you know, one of the things that I hope to do is just, you know, have a go-to resource, you know, page of all the kind of the beginning steps, right? And so I'm not to say I'm obviously happy, but I want to take this time right now, however long we are in this circumstance, to be able to, and I'm not going to sneeze.
I see you fighting it.
Right, man, during the allergy season, it's just the worst.
Dude. You're from Texas. You know how it is here. You know how bad, man.
I lived off of Benadryl. Like, that was my bro. being able to use this time, this downtime, so to speak, to be able to just build a website and just collectively get everything into place. So, you know, when we do get out of this, there's a resource that more people can, you know, go to. But while we're in this, yeah, I think the best thing to do right now is just, you know, see what you can find on YouTube. You know, my page has a bunch of, my stuff is a lot more advanced, but, you know, I know people pick apart a lot of the videos and try to do the things that they feel that are, you know, easy or accessible. So.
Sure. Well, it may inspire them too, man. And that's, you know, it's one thing I talked to, we were at Winterfest talking to some of like Chris and Colin and Lou and some of those guys about, you know, having social media nowadays, you know, you look at back when you and I were, you know, cheering, you know, you only push the envelope so far because you didn't realize what's possible, right?
You'd wait till
competition, you would go and see a guy or a team do something, and you're like, oh, I can do that. And then you go work on it all year and you show back up and then you're doing that, but then they're doing something new. So you're like, okay, let me do that now. And so now, you know, skills that people would only see evolve once a year or every couple of months, social media, like these kids will post, I just did this, made up this brand new skill. And then 2 weeks later, 25 other people have done it. So I think looking to a page like yours that has some of these more advanced skills, you know, to your point of your goal of really pushing out this, you know, less yoga, more acrobatics based form of acro, I think people looking at your stuff may be, you know, kind of that catalyst to say, look what's done now and look what's possible.
I've definitely noticed that exponential growth. I've definitely noticed that. I remember when I first started my page, the number of people around the world that were doing Icarian and popping, and, you know, this is outside of like the actual circus.
Sure.
Professionals that were just doing insane amounts of, right? When I started, like, I know a lot of people like credit Lou, right, for being one of the first to like merge the two worlds, right, in the early, you know, early 2000s of doing, you know, of implementing a lot more acro with the cheer, right? And so now it's just part of, and so I remember when I first started my page, not a lot of people were doing Icarian stuff. And then when I would debut it on my page, more and more videos would start to pop up. You know, these whips would start to pop up more. Now, everybody, there's a lot more people. A lot of people are way more advanced than me because they only specialize in that one thing. And yeah, I've been able to see it firsthand, the growth because of social media, as opposed to like, okay, like if social media didn't exist and I was just doing this at, you know, the beach by myself, you know, there's no telling where a lot of those practitioners would be. So yeah, social media, wow. The thing that I'm excited about is if I can get, especially cheerleaders, bases, to L-base more, I guarantee you, where I am right now, those kids would be better and beyond me in a year if they were to dedicate to it, because they have all the ability, all the mechanics, all the mental will in order to be able to perform in ways that I couldn't in a year's time, guaranteed, for sure.
And I'm interested to see too, kind of in that same vein, the reciprocal. I'm excited to see more of Acro get plugged into like all-star cheer routines, right? More that artistic kind of flowing transition, because everything is still so, you know, when it comes down to like brass tacks, it's still do it to an eight count. You know what I mean? So like it's hard to blur that line because you can only do so many and a one and a two and a three, five, six, seven and eight and a one and a two. It's always, everything has to be on a count, but with Acro, it's so much easier to just kind of flow. You know, you can change tempos in and out and things like that. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's a choreography component to Acro.
No, they're totally, but I feel like you totally could do it. Yeah,
I feel you could. There's a way to blend them to where they could work out in a group setting and still have the flowy artistry of Acro with the regimented forms of cheer.
Yeah,
I don't. You know, that's something the Acro side, I don't have enough experience in it to give an opinion on how, but I mean, surely there's a way that we can start to merge.
There totally is. There totally is. I believe there is. Yeah.
There was the couple that came to Winterfest that were from Cirque, and the class that they did where they were showing some of those flowy transitions with co-ed stunts, and that was really cool.
Yeah. Max and Erica. Yeah. No, there totally is. Somebody, I mean, it's inevitable. It's inevitable because, like what you said, the need to push the envelope, because everybody can YouTube everybody's performance and see what they did, and to see how they could just be different. I think it's only a matter of time before a team says, okay, for this eight count, everybody's going to lay on their back and we're going to do this really cool four-step thing, or we're going to do a front tuck flip, or it's only a matter of time. It's only a
Sure. And I think that there's hints of it in just with transitions right now. There's hints of stuff like that. You know, you see people will do like, you know, like a chaise and then like a front aerial, but they'll be, braced by people. You know, you see like people do, like a base will drop down to their hands and knees and somebody will step off their back and they'll kind of do an aerial, a braced aerial off of it. So it's like people are hinting at it, but nobody's pulled the trigger and just said, okay, like we're going to make, like you said, this eight count, this 4-8 counts, this entire transition group wise, or even like partner stunt wise, like somebody like a Colin or a Chris, you know, some of those guys to say, okay, during this 12 seconds of our partner stunt routine, we're just going to be like fluid, you know, we're not going to pop off, we're not going to flip, it's just going to be fluid motion and then maybe jump back in. So I'm intrigued to see what the next, you know, 5 to 10 years, because, you know, you can only do so many, you can only, skill wise, you can only get so hard before you start to kind of reach the barrier of human ability. You know, nobody's going to do a quadruple up, you know, no, in a competition, nobody's going to do a, you know, also rules wise, you know, nobody's going to do a double, you know, because you're limited by either your rules or you're limited by just current human physical ability. So where do you innovate? And it's, I feel like the in-between, which is really where your practice comes in, is that how do we seam it? How do we smooth out the lines? How do we you know, break the choppiness and make it, you know, how do we go from script to cursive, you know, kind of thing. I don't know.
I like that. I like that.
Well, man, I don't want to take any more of your time, but I'm really glad I got to chat with you, man. I know it's been forever, and obviously the blessing of the current situation is it really allows us to kind of use social media and use these tools to connect, and I'm really glad I got to get on with you and introduce you to our small band of followers, and hopefully try to inspire maybe some young athletes to look into acro while they have all the time in the world to do so.
I know. Well, man, and thank you again for having me, man. You know, cheer's been in my blood. So the idea that you would actually, like, you know, want to reach out and promote this to your audience, you know, it means a lot to me, because in the acro world, I'm definitely like that. You know, I'm the one guy in the community that comes from the world, so I'm kind of foreign, right? And slowly but surely, my way of doing things is kind of permeating, you know, within the community. Like, oh wow, okay, like I can see how this cheer approach benefits us. And so, you know, the fact that, like, you know, I was able to make an impression on you to where you wanted to reach out to me means a lot to me. So, man, I appreciate that. Thank you much.
Of course, man. Of course. Well, I'll put links to all of your stuff in the description on our podcast. And once all this stuff gets cleared up, man, if you got a couch for me to crash on, I'll come out to LA. I've never been to LA, so
sounds
come
visit. Good, brother. Sounds good. We'll
hit up the beach.
Yeah, man. Especially when I have you out there. And listen, everybody loves when a cheerleader comes out there, because we have all these amazing, athletically gifted, like, flyers that just want to be thrown in the air, and, you know, they're very coachable. And so when you know, excuse me, an all-star, is that, so that's the new term?
So it's all-star cheer. Yeah, all-star cheer and all-star dance is the competitive side. So, okay. And like I said, the dance is relatively new, so. It's taken off, man. If you haven't looked into All-Star Dance, it's so at Worlds, you'll have All-Star Worlds, Cheer Worlds, yeah, and you have All-Star Dance.
I mean, I've always remembered the dance being around, but in terms of, like, you know, what would I call you as an individual? Like a stunner, a cheerleader? So, like, what?
Cheer athlete is kind of,
yeah,
cheer athlete. Because again, you know, that whole idea of cheerleading, you know, you're leading sideline, you're leading the crowd with some sort of, you know, if you get down to, like, you know, the nuts and bolts of it, right? Your sideline is still cheerleading, you're leading cheers for a crowd, versus All-Star, you're not really leading, you know, you're not supporting another team, you're just putting on a performance. So you take out the leading, or I guess it's all semantics.
Yeah, I mean. Listen, I have my, you know, and this is probably off topic. You probably have already had a conversation or a podcast about it. Like, there are elements of cheer that I liked, and then there are elements of cheer on Netflix that I didn't like. And I hope they address those elements with a new team and a new season. And I don't know if they feel like Navarro is the cream of the crop either. I don't know if they feel like cheer is what made it successful, or Navarro made it successful. And if we go to, say, Kentucky and actually show, you know, men, you know what I mean? Like the dynamic, know what I mean? I don't know.
You know? Yeah. I did an episode on cheer. I focus a lot more on the thing that I thought the show was very well made. As far as, like, just from a creation standpoint, I don't like that the underlying foundation of everything was injuries. You know, every episode just was injury laden, and, you know, the problem I've always had is our sport tries to validate our athleticism by how injured we get. You know, it's like, oh man, look how serious she got hurt. Like, she was tough. Like, she must be a real athlete. And no other sport does that. You know, like, you don't hear, you know, football players like, oh, I got 6 concussions last season, man. I'm so tough. Like, look how tough I am.
That's a good point.
So we just try to, unfortunately, a lot of times our athletes try to validate our status as a sport and validate their status as athletes by showing like, yeah, we get really hurt. And that to me, like, that's the one thing I didn't like, because I know, number one, they took a lot of artistic freedom with like highlighting the fact that there was injuries, but there's injuries in every sport. So we don't need to, it didn't need to be the central theme of everything. And then the other thing that, you know, is if you're going to highlight the injuries, and be unbiased about it. Like the way it was presented, at least from my point of view, was if I were a parent and my kid came to me and said, I watched this show and I want to do, you know, cheer, and I knew nothing about it, and then I went and watched this show to get my first glimpse of what it's like, what I'm going to come out of that show is saying, okay, my kid is going to go do this ridiculously crazy sport that they're likely going to get very hurt doing and have minimal health care to keep them in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, to me, like, that was very frustrating. I think that getting cheer into the public's eye, I mean, at the time, it was the number one stream show in Netflix history, you know? So, like, it got exposure really, really good, which I think was great for the sport. I was very interested to see what season two was going to show. It was, you know, I got to meet with some of the guys from Navarro a couple of weeks back, and, you know, he said there was no, it's like, it's not a secret. We were filming season two. And it's just because of everything that's happened, and they, you know, they shut the school down for quarantine. They had to stop filming, but I mean, they were in the middle of season two. So to me, I was interested to see if they were going to get into more of, you know, what viewpoint were they going to take in the production and what they portrayed to the public. Was it going to be more of the same? We're like, yeah, look how much more hurt they got, or were they actually going to try to take a different viewpoint?
Oh, so season two is with them again.
So, yeah, so they were filming it, and I said, you know, I was like, is that a secret? Should that not be out? And he said, no. He said, you know, they were having stunt clinics and stunt camps, and if you went to one of their clinics, like, they were there filming the whole time. They weren't trying to be secretive about it. So, I mean, they weren't broadcasting it to the public, but then, if, like I said, if you went to one of their clinics, then you saw a film crew there, and so it wasn't hard to put two and two together.
Yeah. So,
but I guess we'll see. So.
All right.
Well, man, it was good talking to you. Good catching up. Yeah, we'll see. but I mean, I'll be in touch, and I want to thank you again for taking time to hop on with me and give us some insight into your world.
Cool, man. Thank you again for having me, man.
Of course. We'll talk soon.
All right. Later, bro.